Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege that God has allowed us to come together on Wednesday night to explore the words of God together. I just want to thank each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule to come together so we could have fellowship in the Word of God. I pray that everyone had a great week and they enjoyed their Memorial Day weekend and everything is going well in your life. Well, tonight, the title of our lesson is God Expects a Return on His Investment. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to expound on verses 14 through 30. And I just want to say thanks to God for all He is doing, has done, and promise to do in all of our lives. Well, it's time for me to play a song. And once the song is played, we're going to come back and we're going to explore the Word of God together. And if someone would like to pray or sing or anything like that, you know you could press the one button. But the record that I'm going to play now is that we have come this far by faith. Each and every one of us, our journey has not been just predicated on us, but it's a faith journey. And we have come this far by faith. Listen and be blessed. For those who have your Bibles, open them to the book of Matthew, and if you don't have your Bible while the record is playing, I pray that you get your Bible. and that was we come this far by faith. You know, we have to realize in our lives that, you know, everything we are, everything we have, everything we will ever be was orchestrated and ordained by God for us. And we should have enough faith in that to walk by faith and not by sight, realizing that God is in the middle of everything that we could even comprehend to do, to think, to be. And God has your best interest at heart. And he's working all things out for your good. Hold on to the confession of your faith, because God is not through with you yet. Again, our title of the lesson is God Expects a Return on His Investment. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button at this time, and you could pray. If you want to sing, you could sing. If you want to ask prayer for someone, you could press the one button. And if not, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and then we're going to go ahead and explore the word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the great I am, our Lord, our Master, and our Savior, our beginning and our end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Dear Lord God, we want to just set this, we have set this time aside just to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for all your mercy and your grace. Thank you, dear God, that the lives you have given us, and thank you for being a great part of the only driving force in everything that we need to accomplish our intended purpose that you had designed for us before the beginning of the world. Lord, we thank you for your Son, and we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, dear God, for all the spiritual gifts that you have given us to be able to operate in your kingdom. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you're worthy. We realize that there's no other name besides the name of Jesus, where every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus is our Lord. And I thank you, dear God, for this opportunity. I thank you for each and every person that has listened, even by phone or on the internet or even around the world, that people are listening. I pray that the word don't return void, and that the lesson that goes forth tonight can be an instrument for your people to realize their purpose and what they need to do to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. I pray that everyone have their Bibles, because this is Bible study. And the book that we are studying is the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And we are in the book in the Bible of Matthew's, and we are in the 25th chapter. And we're going to expound on verses 14 through 30. This particular scripture is a parable, and it's a parable of the talents. And we're going to go through this tonight, and hopefully we understand what God is telling us, because concerning the parables, Jesus said, "Whoever have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying." And I pray that everyone's heart is open and everyone's ears is can receive, and their eyes, they can see what the Word of God is saying for all of us on tonight. Our lesson title is God Expects a Return on His Investment. You know, when we look at this title, we can think many things. And to make it real plain, I'll give this little analogy. You know, we all have children, and those of us who don't have children, we have nieces and nephews and godchildren and people we have in our lives. And, you know, you try to nurture them. You try to guide them so that they could be useful. And when they, you know, do the things that they're supposed to do, finish high school and then go on to higher education, you know, you sit back and you say, you know, all that I have vested into them, you could see the return on your investment. So I came to tell you tonight, God expects a return on his investment, because all that God has imputed into us for his glory and his service, when we do the things that God expects of us and we use the gifts and the talents that he has given to us, it gives him a return on his investment. So I can ask the question now, all that God has given you, all of your purpose and your talents and your resources and your time and your money, you see, are you giving God a return on his investment? So as always, we do a little background, and we're going to look, since I'm teaching tonight, a parable. I want you to know that a parable is literally something that is cast alongside of something else. You know, what Jesus do in his teaching when he teach parables, he always use earthly things that you are familiar with, like trees and crops and seeds and talents. He used those things because you have a understanding of what they are, and he put it alongside of a spiritual truth that you could get a clearer understanding of what is being said. You see, Jesus' parables were stories, and it was used to illustrate a truth. And he used the parable, compared it with something else to give a divine truth. You see, his parables was teaching aids and can be thought of an extended analogy or inspired comparisons. A common description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You know, for a time in Jesus' ministry, he relied heavily on parables, but that's not the way his teaching started. But if you look in the Bible and you see where the parables are listed in the different gospels of the Bible, it's towards the end, because he had taught and taught, you know, for 3 years. And towards the end of the 3 years, he began to use parables heavily, because maybe he thought that that was the plainest and simplest way for them to understand. And there's about 35 parables that's in the Synoptic Gospel. You may have been reading, not the preacher was preaching, and you always hear Synoptic Gospel. But I want to let you know tonight, that only means the first three books in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They call that the Synoptic Gospel. We know that there's four books in the gospel, but the book of John does not include parables. Jesus was often asked by his disciples, why do he talk to them in parables? Jesus told him, you know, there was a lot of Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes and Republicans in that day that was always coming up against Jesus to contradict what he was saying, to go up against him and try to catch him in things, because they wanted to get rid of him at any means necessary. So Jesus said, since they was refusing to receive it, he began to talk in parables, and he said those who wanted to know the truth, it would be revealed, but those that felt indifferent about it, I thought it was trash, would not. And he said, that's why I did it. If you look in the Bible, some of the parables that are listed when Jesus teach the parable, you could go a few to the next page maybe, and he explained the parable line by line. And whenever there's not an explanation totally in the Bible, a breakdown of the parable, Jesus always taught his disciples the meaning of the parable when they were alone. So we're going to go now to the scripture, and the 14th through the 30th verse is talking about the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And if I read verses 14 and 15, the verses reads as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who calls his servants and deliver unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several abilities. And straightway took his journey. I pray that you guys read it, and some of you may have got the clear understanding, but we're going to break it down. And I pray that if there's any other things that you need to know about it, you press the 1 button after the end of the program, and we could have found a little more. And if in my teaching and when I'm finished, you have something that can add to it, you know, press the 1 button and share it with everybody, because this is all of our Bible studies. Now, we just read the scripture. There was a man, he was going away. He called his servants, and he gave to them talents, 1, 5, 1, 2, and 1, 1. And he gave it to them, listen what the scripture say, according to their ability. And he left. You see, in this parable, Jesus is the man, and we are his servants. This is a parable about Jesus who has gone to sit at the right hand of his Father. He said in his word that he go to prepare a place for us where he is. We may be also. You know, Jesus, after he was on earth and he taught and he preached and he was crucified and he was buried and he rose and he stayed on earth for 40 days showing himself to people, and when he got ready to leave, he told him he would give him the Holy Ghost, and Jesus left. He sat at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding on our behalf daily. You see, he calls his servants, who is us, those who believe him, in him, and give to us everything that is needed to live a righteous life on earth till he returns. You got to realize if you save, you're going to be with Jesus in eternity, the by and by. But there's a certain way and certain things we should do on earth. And God didn't want us to be just here doing it any kind of way. So he have a master plan, and he has given us everything we need to live a righteous life. You see, 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's in 2 Peter, saying God has given us everything. When Jesus left, he gave us his word to obey, which is our moral compass. He sealed us with his spirit, the Holy Ghost, our comforter, our guide, who convicts us in the things of God. He also guides us in the path that we should go. It is his It is the Holy Ghost that give us the spiritual gifts. And we received them when we was converted. You know, when you say thank you, Holy Ghost, thank the Holy Ghost for the spiritual gift that he is, you know, extending to us. While Christians may have natural abilities even before they were saved, spiritual gifts seem to be related to the special purpose of God in calling us and then saving us. See, God is a God of purpose. Everything he does has a purpose. And once we was converted and saved, we became his child, and everybody, he have different things that he have for us to do. You see, spiritual gifts are divinely given to perform useful functions for God, especially in the area of spiritual service. Just as the human body has members with different capacities, so individual Christians forming the church as the body of Christ have different capacities. You know, it wouldn't make sense for all of us to be on the same level and all of us to do the same thing. You know, God made us unique. Everyone is different. Everyone is unique. There's no two eyes. There's only one you. And what God gave you is for you. And as we look at this lesson tonight, we have to realize that what God gave us, and the scriptures say it, according to our ability, we have to find a way to give God a return on that investment. The Holy Spirit, remember, is the one that give us the power to use the gifts. You know, when you do something dynamic and, you know, you might have had to sing at a church or you preached or you, you know, taught Bible study or whatever you may have done, and it may not even be anything in that capacity, but you know when you did it and you did it to give God the glory, and when you was free, finished, you said, thank you, Holy Ghost. Every Christian has at least more than one spiritual gift. Because you see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 it say, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of us have something. You know, plenty of times we say, you know, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And one time I sat down and I thought about that. I had said it one too many times without really understanding, because, you know, some things become cliche, and we say things because it fit the moment, but sometimes we don't really have the full understanding of it, you know. And, you know, we say, the Bible says I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So I wanted to know if I'm not of this world, then what am I a part of while I'm living here on earth? And I read and I understand that is the kingdom of God. See, if you remember in the beginning of the scripture on verse 14, they say the kingdom of heaven. It started off that way, so they wanted to let you know there are other kingdoms. This is the kingdom of God that we live in right here on earth. And all Christians and people that saved live in the kingdom. And if everybody understood they're in the kingdom of God, and God has given each and every one of us special things that we could do in the kingdom, can you imagine how our life on earth would be? You know, everything that we are or will ever be is because of what Jesus has given to us for good works, for kingdom building, until he returns. And he expects a return on what he has given us when he get back. Y'all know Jesus is coming back. And the scripture says, see, when he come back, he's going to have the rewards in his hand. The rewards for the gifts and the talents that you used and give him an an investment, gave him a return on his investment, you will be rewarded. Once you're saved, you're not doing good to be saved. Because once you're saved, you already saved if you was truly saved in the beginning. But what you are doing is trying to please the master by doing good. You're not working to be saved, but because you are saved, you should want to do good works. And you could never do it in and of yourself. That's why tonight's lesson is showing that God has given to us these things. You see, God has given us everything that we are, and will be. Jesus is a just Savior, and he gave everyone according to his abilities. And the reason he do that, so that there will be no excuses or overwhelmness. He's not trying to make you operate like someone else. A lot of times in my new members class at church, people say, I don't pray well, you know, because Mr. So-and-so prays so good and Mrs. So-and-so prays so eloquently and whatever. Your prayer is your prayer. God don't hear their prayer no more than he hear yours. Your talent that God gave you, if you understand it's your talent and you work in it, you're still at 100%. See, God wants us to rest in what he is doing. He don't want you to have overwhelmness. You know, part of our not being able to rest is things we put on ourselves. You got to know in life, everything is not for everybody. And guess what? That's the way that God planned it. One body, many members. When he made our physical body, he didn't give us all legs and no hands. He didn't give us eyes and no ears. See, everything is important, because I could ask you the question today. Do you rather, if you had to give up something, would you rather give up your legs or your hands? Or rather you rather give up your hands and keep your legs? And you'll probably see that all of them is necessary. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. And once you accept Christ as your Savior, you became a member, a citizen in the body of Christ. And are you functioning well and doing your part with what God has given you? We are one body in Christ, many members. I come to tell you tonight that God has no respect of person. With God, there's no big I and little you. We are all equally important. If we put that in the natural and look at the man who collects the trash, you know, they look at the garbage man and some people turn up their nose and they would never have that kind of job, and that's like low on the totem pole. But I tell you one thing, if the garbage men go on strike and stop picking up the trash in this city, you're going to really understand their value. Everyone has something to do. You see, in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10 verses says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Watch this part here, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The assignment is already prepared, and God has already equipped us and gave us provisions to accomplish it. But you know what they say, you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Are you fulfilling your God-gift purpose? Are you using the talents that God gave you? Are you giving God a return on his investment? We are God's masterpiece. uniquely made with different talents, gifts, and abilities. Everything that God wants us to accomplish, the provisions are already in place for you to achieve it. Jeremiah 29:11 say, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." God told Jeremiah this in the Old Testament to tell the people, not just the people then, but for us right here tonight. Jeremiah 29:11 say, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." God gave us all of these provisions and made a way out of no way in protecting you and giving you favor to accomplish the intended purpose he had in mind for you to do. Hallelujah. Everything belongs to God. Psalms 24 say, "The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." I come to tell you tonight that we are only stewards. And a steward is someone who takes care of that which belonged to another in their absence until they return. And if you can't really get it, you know, like if you have a dog and you're going on vacation and you give someone else your dog to keep, that person becomes a steward, and they're going to keep and take care of your dog until you come back. Well, we are stewards because the world belongs to God. And Jesus is coming back. And to be a good steward, we have to do the deeds and use the gifts and the talents, the resources that Jesus has given us until he returns. You know, once Jesus comes back, he's going to want to know, what have you done with what he has given you? And this was so amazing to me, and I pray that it's a that you get it. God will only judge us with what he has given us. That should allow you to go into total rest. He's not asking you to do something that, first of all, you're not equipped to do, something he didn't give you, because all of the gifts is given by his sovereignty for whoever he pleased. He's not going to ask you to do anything above your ability. See that fighting to get all the way on the top with everything? That place, that top, might not be for you. So no matter how hard you push, no matter how hard you work, you might not get there. But wherever God has you, you have to look at it as being on top and be able to say it is well and do as Paul said, be content in whatever state that I am, especially when you know that what God has assigned for you. Everything is not for everybody. And you got to remember, only those things which you do for Christ will last. And if we go into the scripture again, and I'm going to read the 16th and the 17th and the 18th verse, you know, we started off where the man was there, and he called his servants, and he left, and he gave them talents. Well, 16 said, "Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. 17 said, "And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. See, they're giving God a return on an investment. And 18 say, "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." You see, here we see that Jesus gave each according to their ability. In this past parable, it's talking about money. What the parable was talking about was money and stuff like that. But here we're going to talk about talents. Here are our gifts, our time, and all of our resources that God has given us for his glory. God has a divine purpose for all of our lives and give us all that we are willing to do for his glory. God don't ask some people to do certain things because he know they're not willing. I come to ask you tonight, can God count on you? God know if he sent somebody your way that have a need and he know you could help with that need. Will you turn him away? I think there's somewhere in the Bible where somebody needed food and the person told him, come back next week. You know, God can't use some of us to do some things because he know you're not willing. Some people, all they do is be huddled up with their little families, with their children, and it's almost like they got a cult going on because they don't let nobody in and they don't, you know, everything is a secret and they don't want to do this. And you know, if they see something bad in the neighborhood, you know, that's not my business. And, you know, plenty of times when these little children is being molested or they in the house being untreated and the people in the neighborhood get to see them, they open the door and see the child out there maybe in the winter with no clothes on and they shut their door. I want you to notice that all servants didn't receive the same amount. And that's just a part of God's master plan. And if we look at 19, verse 19, 20, and 21, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents. Saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 more. Hallelujah. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, when their master came back and what he had given them, they increased it. They used it for service. You got to know that everything God gave you is not just for you. You see, the servant, and this one who had the 5 talents, he was given the most. And probably because the Lord knew he could handle more. Come on, y'all. He evidently realized, I'm talking about this servant who got the 5 in the beginning, he realized to whom much is given, much was required. And he was a steward. And he was thankful for all what God has given him. And he decided to use it in the kingdom. He knew that if he took care of God's business, God would take care of his. He knew that everything that God had given him was not just for him. He eventually used his time, his resources, his talents, his gift for service for God. You see, God knew his ability, his obedience, and his faithfulness. What do God know about you? You see, this servant that received the 5 talents, he knew that he was created to do good work. And just like God had given him the 5 talents, that he worked and he doubled it. And God only judged you with what he has already given you. And that's amazing. And it should help you to enter into rest. There's a scripture in the book of Philippians say, God say that it is I who will and do what I want to do to get my pleasure from you. He ain't say you to give me pleasure. It is I, God says. That should give us rest. In verse 22 and 23, we're talking about now the one who had the 2 talents. came to the Lord and delivered unto him two talents. Who'd have thought? Who had given him two talents. Behold, he said, and I have gained two more talents besides them. And look what the Lord said in 23. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's their reward. Well done. Will God be able to say to you, my good and faithful servant, well done? You see, this servant refused less. The other one got two in the beginning. I mean five. God gave this one two. But not because God loves the receiver five more. So let's not get it twisted. Remember, you are given according to your ability. And besides that, God got to know that you are willing, you will become a willing worker, willing to do what he expects to be done. But it wasn't according, it wasn't that the one who got five, God loved him more than the one he gave two. It was according to the ability and the willingness. This should give us rest. Because God is not looking for more from you than you can give. God is not looking for more from you than you can give. If you're doing your best and you're giving your all, rest. If you know it's not your best, start doing it and then rest. You see, this servant was just as faithful as the other servant because God said good and faithful service to him as well and also offered him to enter into the joy of the Lord. In this, in these words, we see that the master cares, the master cares about three things with us, the results, so that he can say, well done. The method in which we do it, the attitude, do we have a good attitude about doing good things towards others? And third, the motivation. Are you willing? Can he trust you? And are you trustworthy? And the scripture says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Of them that diligently seek him. God said he'll never let you do nothing without having a return, a reward with it. It is through the exercise, now this is deep one here, y'all. It is through the exercise of our gifts, talents, and resources that we meet the Father. The more you do, the more you're going to know. It's through the exercise of our gifts, talents, and resources that we meet the Father. And watch this. And receive the blessings that comes from his hand. In the last part of the scripture, 24 through 30, then he which who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou not hast not strawed. He come in complaining, the one who got the one. He said, you're a hard man, and I knew you would be hard to deal with, and you want to reap where you didn't sow, saying like you want something you don't want to work for. Come on now, y'all. He telling that to the master. The master already had it. You the servant. 25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. There thou hast that is mine. He said, now I'm giving back what you had. And 26 says, the Lord answered and said to him, watch this, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. He said, you know all this about me? You saying this is what I'm about? He said, if you know all of this, and look at 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I would have received my own with usuries. He said, if you're that smart and you know all that about me, you should have just took my money and invested it. And when I came back, I would have gotten more. And the master then says, 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one that hath 10. Hallelujah. 29, for unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundant. But from him that has not shall be taken away even which what he have. This scripture, not Diane. And 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servants into the other darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I want you to know, it's not that this particular servant died and went to hell. He just was punished. Part of his punishment that he didn't get to be able, the Lord didn't say, well done. And then, you know, as life go on, the Lord wouldn't be able to use him too much. And what he had was taken away from him. You know how some people say you could lose your blessings? You see, the meaning of this parable extends far beyond financial blessing. God has given each person a wide variety of gifts, and he expects us to employ those gifts in his service. It is not acceptable merely to put those gifts on a closet shelf and ignore them. Like the three servants, we do not have gifts of the same degree. The servant who received one talent was not condemned for failing to reach the five-talent goal. Come on now. He was condemned because he did nothing with what he has been given. The gifts and the provisions to accomplish, we all receive from God. You know, it includes skills and abilities, family connections, social positions, education, and all our life experience, and even more. You got to realize God is using all of these things for your good. The point of the parable is that we are to use whatever we have been given for God's will and purpose. The severe consequences to the unproductive servant tells us that we are to invest our lives not waste them. God does not employ people with identical or necessary equal gifts. You don't see that. Even an artist, when he paints a masterpiece, even if he went back to try to paint it again, it will have something in it different. You know, they say a potter, when he potters the clay, he could never, there has never been two identical pieces made. And that's the way God has created us. So all of our service, it will be different because we differently made. Come on, y'all. Our abilities are different. But God doesn't like one person above the other. when we doing the work of God and God looks at us, he said he can only see out his son. See, if we do well with the gift that God has given to us, we will be able to hear him say, well done. At the same time, the parable ends with the talents taken away from the third servant, giving it to the one that had 10. You have to know tonight that equal work does not necessarily mean equal compensation. Equal wealth. Excuse me, y'all, let me start over. Equal work does not necessarily mean equal compensation. You know how you say, well, I was doing the same thing she was doing. I gave the same amount of tithe she gave. You know, why I don't have it now? I go to church every Sunday, and she go to church every Sunday. Look like she's blessing, I'm not. But I tell you tonight, equal work does not necessarily mean equal compensation. I don't know why I'm having problems. Compensation. Some positions require more skills or ability and thus are compensated accordingly. The two servants who did well are rewarded in different amounts. But watch this. But they both were praised identical. Remember the scripture where the woman gave one penny? She got the same praise as the one who had gave their houses and lands and their livestock because she gave her all. And that's what she had. Her compensation was the same as the others. The implication of the parable is that we are to use whatever talents we have been given to the best of our ability for God's glories. You see, when we have done that, we are on an equal playing field with other faithful, trustworthy servants of God. That's why my new thing is when somebody tell me something, I'ma just say I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, you forgiven, all of us forgiven. So it must be all right. And then your goal, if God say well done, if he say well done to me, and you might think that I'm doing different things of a higher caliber, it's no big eyes and no little U's in the eyesight of God. God perfectly and uniquely made you for his service, and he imparted into you the gifts and talents that he wanted you to use and operate in the kingdom. If you do that well, it is well done and gone in Jesus' name. You see, the one that had one lost it, and it was given to the one that had 10. And you may wonder and ask the question, why it seemed that so much is always required of you from others. Like you the one that everybody come to. You the one that everybody expect to have the answer. You the one that everybody expect to make a way. You're the one, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one. And you say, why me sometimes? Well, the answer may be that you have more, you might know more, and you are willing to give more. See, in the book of Luke, it says, for everyone who has been given much, much shall be demanded. And from the one that has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. You see, the idea of to whom much is given, much is required, is that we are held responsible for what we have. If we are blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use these well to glorify God and to benefit others. And because you ask more, because probably you have more, and look how blessed you are to be able to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to end the program tonight with, I'm going to tell you, be careful not to lose your blessing. Do your best with what you have been given. Because if you don't use it, you can lose it. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I guess I could have titled the lesson, Can God Count on You? The glory of all of this in my eyesight from the tension, from the teaching, is that God is not going to judge me for what he haven't imputed in me. Whatever God wants to accomplish from your life, he has given unto you. And he just expects us to use it. Some people say, well, Sister Diane, I don't know my talent. I don't know my gifts. But believe me, just because you don't know them don't mean they're not there. Be prayerful. Talk to God. And just think about it. When I couldn't figure mine out for a long time. So one day I just sat down and I said, let me see what God has put in me. And at that time, it was some years ago, 25 years ago or whatever, I said, you know, I looked around in the church and I said, you know, one thing I know I love people. And I know I love to service people and be of service to people. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go up and be an usher. And I went and I began to usher. And I ushered for years and years and years and years and years and years. You know, a lot of years, way over 15, maybe 20 years, I was an usher. And I have to say I was a good usher. And then, you know, from ushering, the teaching part just evolved out of no way. But you see, God, you know, wanted to see if I would use what I had. Sometimes you got to use what you know you have. It might not be exactly what you want at this time, and I could tell you, do not sit down waiting till you find out. Start doing something, and it will reveal everything that God has for you. You know your skills. It could be playing with a baby. Keep playing with that baby and nurture that baby and love that baby well, and then some of your other gifts going to overflow. You can't sit down and do nothing till you, while you're waiting. God calls that slowfulness. I hope that this lesson helps someone. And you're not doing the good works to be saved, because if you're already saved, you're saved. But you're doing the good works because, first of all, God expects it. Second of all, God has given us an assignment. And third of all, we live in a kingdom, and we are the believers of Christ, and we should do good to everyone, the Bible says, especially those in the household of faith. And then by us doing good in the kingdom, we could be a good witness and a good example for the unbelievers to want to come into the kingdom. Would anyone would like to pray to lead us out tonight? Anyone have a prayer request? Anyone would like to add to the lesson? Anyone would like to give encouragement? Anyone have a comment? You could press the one button on the phone. I'll open the mic. It is now the 8:30 hour. If no one has anything that they would like to say, I'm going to just lead out with a benediction. And by now I know you guys know my favorite benediction, because it's my desire that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the end of our program for tonight. If it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on Wednesday. And, you know, I did, after we finished the Bible, we did three characters of the Bible, Joseph, Moses, and Mary. And then we on parables, and I would pick three parables so you could understand parables or see what Jesus had to say in his teaching of parables. And whenever you go to your Bible and read the scriptures of the parables, the writing is in red. And you know, whenever the writing in your Bible is in red, that's Jesus speaking. And if you have a Bible that doesn't have red writing in it so you can really see when Jesus is speaking, I suggest you invest in one. Caller, your number is 355-6567. Your mic is open. Caller, 355-6267. Your mic is open.
Yeah, hi, Miss Diane. This is Kathy Foxford. How you doing tonight?
And I'm doing fine, Colin.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus. But I just want to make a comment on what you said about doing what you do, because sometimes I find myself feeling shortfall about things I take and do, and people always say things to me about, oh, you didn't do this, you did that, you took care of your grandma and did all that. You're going to get your blessings, and I like, sometimes I'll say, when? You know, because I go through my hard times with employment and things of some nature and finances. But you're right. You need to continue to keep on doing what you do, because today when I went to the school board, to the personnel office to take care of some personal business for myself, I went down to the secretary, and she said, oh, Foxworth, come on in. And I said, okay, Miss Cindy. I said, I bug you so much during the year about different positions that's available. I said, I wasn't going to come and bug you today. And she said, yeah, I want to tell you, I think you're going to get a full-time position next year at the Melroy Elementary. And I said, oh, thank you, Miss Cindy. And so, you know, I'm just saying you need to keep on doing what you do, because you never know when your blessing's going to take and come. I've been bugging this lady all year. I really been bugging her, but I've been inquiring. But seems like hopefully next school year I'll get my blessing. So I hope it works out. But you're right. You need to keep on doing what you do, you know, because God knows best.
That's right. And God know where you are. Nothing you could go through life can take God by surprise. But he have a plan, and it's his time, and it's his master plan, and his will. What they say, hold on till your change come. God haven't forgot about you, and he's right there with you. So we have to continue to walk in faith and keep moving and doing what we're supposed to do, because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And thank you so much, Sister Kathy, for the comments that you gave us on tonight. And we thank God for the position that you probably will receive. And I'm asking everyone to be prayerful for Kathy Foxworth for employment at the beginning of the school year. Thank you, Miss Kathy.
You're welcome, Miss Diane, and I love you.
I love you too, baby. I have another caller. Your number is 504-157. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 715-46.
Yes. I was calling to close out with the prayer.
You got it. You could do it now, Sister Elyria Mackey from Boothville,
yes,
Louisiana. Always a pleasure for you to be on the line, and we always look forward to your singing and your prayer. You are in service for God. You're using your talents. And the scripture says he's saying, well done.
Girl, when you was talking, that song came on my mind to be the one the Lord is calling for in these last few days. Yes, oh God. God, we just thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you for Sister Diane, Lord God, that she ministered your word tonight, and we got a blessing, Lord God. And we thank you for the sister that came on the line, Lord God. We thank you for giving her that job when the new year begins, God. We thank you for increase, Lord God, as we increase, God, because your word said, though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we thank you for renewing us, God. We thank you for giving us strength, Lord, because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, God, we just want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, and we thank you for this Bible study. We give you praise, honor, and glory, and we say amen, and we just bless your name, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
And Sister Elyria, if you would like to, give us a part of the song.
Oh, I can if we're not too late.
I tell you guys all the time, I have a blockout of 2 hours. I just try to finish in an hour. So when it get like 9:30 and we get off, I just don't like to hold people too long. So they say that Bible study is too long. But it's not, you know, I have time, but I try to stay within a time frame, respecting everybody's time because of the late hour we start. So if you like, you can bless us. For those who have to leave, we done already did the prayer and we did the benediction. So, you know, it's all right. But for those who would love to be blessed by this song, you could stay on. Sister Elyria, you have the mic.
Okay. To be the one the Lord is calling for in these last and evil days. One call to be a witness to a soul who's lost their way, then to be used as an instrument that men may see and know God is faithful to his promise he made a long time ago, that he coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah, bless his name and lift him up. Praise God, he's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming back, the Son of Man. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he's the great I Am, coming on the cloud with great pomp and majesty. Praise God, praise God, he's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah, bless his name and lift him up. Praise God, praise God, he's coming back again. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. That song was so beautiful and it was so appropriate. And we have to remember that God is coming back. And when he left to go prepare a place for us, he has given us all these talents and gifts and resources and our time to work until he comes back again so that you can receive the reward. Well done, sir. It depends on you.
We want to be those instruments.
Right. That instrument that she spoke of in that song. So let all of us just learn to do well. Learn to do better and just do the best that we can. God is not asking you to do something that you can't do. And everything that he asks you to do, the provisions are already in place. And with that being said, if no one else would like to say anything, we're going to go ahead and end our program tonight. And if it's the will of God, we'll be back on next week. And next week's lesson will be another parable. And it'll probably be the parable of the full soil. So if you want to go and start studying, you can. And we'll come back Wednesday. And all I can say right now is glory be to God for all that he has done, is doing, and promised to do. And my prayers is out to each and every one of you, and I ask that you pray for me and that we do the things that give God the glory. In Jesus' name, good night and be blessed.